Praise God. It's lovely to be back here. This was the church where I first ever preached the message. Pastor Dell saw something in me that God had put there and asked me to preach one day when I was 18 years old, 10 years ago. So Arnold said, I'm not as young as I used to be. But I'm here now to share God's word. First, though, before I do that, I just want to pray. I don't want to pray that God would bring this church a pastor. I want to pray that God would bring somebody that would come and lead and have vision and move this church into where God wants it to be. So let me just pray that now. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are, Lord, in control. Lord Jesus, Lord, you are above everything. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring in the right person, Lord, Father, to bring vision, to bring your vision into this church, into this body, into this house, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would empower, Lord, this church, Lord, Father, Lord, to go and do the things that you've called it to do, Lord, to speak out, Lord, against injustice, Lord, to win souls for you, Lord. Lord, it's not about one man, Lord, leading from the front, but Lord, it's about the body, the church, raising up and being the people, Lord, that you've called it to be. Lord, so I pray, Lord, that you, the great shepherd, Lord, would bring in the right shepherd for this church. Lord, somebody that would love this church and love your people, Lord, because, Lord, your people are your most treasured thing. Lord, that you died upon a cross, Lord, to save each and every one of us. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring in the right person, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we pray for them now, Lord, your blessing, Lord, whoever they may be. Lord, that you would bless them, Lord. You maybe, Lord, would speak into their hearts, Lord. Lord, if they've been looking for a church, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring the right person in. Lord, your appointed person, not man's appointed person, but your appointed person into this building, into this church, Lord, to build your kingdom here in Welling. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you just give me the word to speak now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Before I go into any message, I just wanted to share a testimony. Not many of you would know. My wife and my son are here. And we had a little bit of an interesting time while he was being born. On the Sunday before he was born, my nan passed away. But I praise God. I mean, she gave her heart to Jesus. She's in glory now, and cancer that was destroying her body is no longer touching her. She died on the Sunday. Lydia went into labour Sunday evening, and talk about mixed emotions. On one hand, I just lost a nan who was here on that first service that I preached. She came up to hear me preach, and then my wife is in labour. And you, I don't know, for those dads who have been there when your wife's in labour and in the throes of everything, you just feel helpless, don't you? You just like, what can you do other than stroke their back and stroke their hair and give them a go on, you can do it, girl, and all that thing. What more can you do? Well, you can't do anything when at 5:30 when they break your wife's waters and they find that there's meconium in the water. So they knew that there was some problems. He was 10 days late in coming. His due date was in June and he was born in July. So he was 10 days late in coming. And at 5:30 in the morning, I'd been up all that time with them. I was tired. I was praying. I was going, God, just, you need to be in control of this. 10:30, the room gets filled with consultants and doctors, and so they prep Lydia for a C-section at 10:30 in the morning. They say, we'll put you on the hormone drip just to see how that goes, because the last thing you want to do is, they want as much as they can for natural birth to happen. They don't want there to be any major intervention. So at 10:30, mixed emotions. I've been up for I don't know how many hours, and everything with what happened with my nan on the Sunday and Lydia there struggling, trying to get Reuben out. I'm just in floods of tears, and Lydia looks at me and she said, what's wrong? I was just in floods of tears because I couldn't do anything. I was helpless in that situation. 10:30 they came in and nothing happened. They prepped a theatre. It wasn't till 5:30 in the evening, so from 5:30 in the morning when they broke the waters, 12 hours and still nothing happened. No further developments, and so they rushed her in to have an emergency C-section. And as I was getting on in my gown and my stuff to go into theatre, and you're worried, and and in that sense, when you're a husband and your wife's in labour, you can't do anything. When you're sat there and she's going on to the theatre table, there's literally nothing you can do other than just be there and support. And so Reuben was born. There were some complications. The epidural didn't work successfully, so Lydia's stomach muscles hadn't relaxed, so they were all tight. And so when they tried to open her up, and what they do normally is they just separate the tummy muscles to get to where the baby is, but her muscles are so tight and compacted that they had to cut her muscles open to get to him. And so he was distressed. They obviously found that there was meconium in his waters at 5:30 in the morning. When they took him out, he was covered in it and he'd inhaled some on his lungs. So when they rushed him over to the theatre, to the little point where the paediatrician is, and they were working on him for 10 minutes, and there was a little cry, and I'm sat there and bawling my eyes out because my son's just been born, and Lydia's worried because she hasn't heard a cry, and there was a little cry. And what can you do? You're helpless, but God's in control. He gets rushed into SCBU, into the baby unit, and Lydia, because of everything that happened to her, he was born at 6:01. It wasn't till nearly 7:00 that she was stitched up that we could actually go into one of the rooms on the maternity ward. About 30 minutes later, the paediatrician came in and said, "It's touch and go. We don't know if he's going to make it. We don't know if he's going to have to be rushed to Southampton or Portsmouth, but we'll let you know what's going on." So then, as a dad, you've just been through all of that. My nan had died the day before. I'd been up all that time. I was emotionally drained. I was physically drained. I was spiritually just, I can't do it. God, what is going on? And then you just find that there's that strength from nowhere. Where did that strength come from to pull you through, to get you through that final hurdle, that final stage? That's God being there, being my strength, being my portion when I'm weak. The Bible says that he is my strength. And so I went in at 10:30 in the evening to go and see Reuben. We hadn't seen any photos. I'd only seen him being handled and taken away. So I went in at 10:30 into the baby unit to have a look at him, to go and see him, to go and pray over him. I went and had got a psalm, and there's the Gideons there, and I went and read Psalm 139 over him, because he was fearfully and wonderfully made, and God had made him, and God had him in his hands. And that was at 10:30. About 11:00 I came back, showed Lydia the picture I'd taken on my phone, and thought that was it. He was in SCBU, that's where he needed to be. God was in control. Got home, told my mum everything that happened, because she was down, obviously wanting to see her grandson. Thought, right, go to bed. See you in the morning. God is in your hands. Went to bed about 12:30. An hour later, got a phone call from the midwife. "Mark, are you going to come in? Reuben's got to be rushed to Portsmouth." "Yeah, I'll be there." My son wasn't even 12 hours old and he's already dictating when I was awake and when I was asleep. I said, "Yeah, I'll be there," without a shadow of a doubt. 10 minutes. I had a cup of tea, went to the hospital, and me and Lydia went to see him for the first time. We hadn't named him at that point. We had two names for him, and we had his middle names sorted out, but we hadn't named him. And the consultant said, who came from Portsmouth to pick him up in an ambulance that they shot out from Portsmouth blue lighted all the way there and to take him back. They said, the consultant said, it'd be good for you to name him. So we named him, and he took us in to into a little room, little family room, and said, I can't tell you if he's gonna make it. He said, I just can't. It depends on how he responds to treatment. And so about 3 o'clock in the morning, we just prayed together and we said, God, he's in your hands. It's all because of you. Whatever happens, he's in your hands. And praise God. He's 14 weeks old on Monday. He's in his hands. And it wasn't through anything other than prayer. And it was amazing to see that when you're in a situation like that, you just have to tell one person, and one person says, we'll start praying for you. And we literally had, from where we live in Dorchester, a prayer chain of people praying for us around the world. Just because of the connections that we'd made, me and Lydia met in America, and we had people in America praying, people in Africa were praying, people in Austria were praying, people all over the world were holding up us as a family. And yeah, it was tough. We had to spend 7 days in Portsmouth, and then 3 more days Lydia and Reuben had to spend in Dorchester, and it was tough. I mean, I'm not going to take it away, and I thank God for bringing us through that, but it was because of what God did and held us together. So next week, when you're sharing about this open service, God is on the move. God is moving in people's lives daily. It may not be as dramatic as that, as holding and pulling a family through and a baby through, but God is moving. Every day, God is moving in our lives. Now, I want to share what I felt God lay on my heart for this church. And I was seeking God and I was praying. And I said, God, I think you've spoken to me, but I need to confirm it. And we had a joint service down in our church in Dorchester, where all the churches come together. The 4 main evangelical churches come together, and they're called Fanning the Flame. And the new pastor from the family church came and shared the exact scripture that I'm going to share today. And God, that's a confirmation. I want to read from Isaiah 43:18-21. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider these things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts of the field will honour me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. Church, Jesus is doing a new thing in Welling. He's doing a new thing. It says, forget the former things. Church, forget what's happened in the past. The hurt, the pain. Forget those things. I can remember growing up in this church. I can remember when we used to have international suppers after the service. We used to have a bring and share, and I loved it. Women, aunties cooking jollof, chicken, all of that. I'm down with that. I love all that. That is what church is all about. Bringing and sharing, celebrating cultures. I remember those things. They're really good. But sometimes we can get hung up on the past. Sometimes we can get hung up on this is how things used to be, or this is what it was back then. The Bible says he's doing a new thing. God's doing something new. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and also I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus is passionate about his church. He's passionate about his bride. And he won't allow any attack of the enemy to come and affect his church, his bride. And I think it's safe to say that this church has been as Arnold said, you've been warfaring, haven't you, Arnold, recently? Over the last few years, you've felt that the enemy has had an attack. His word declares, church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You need to know that, as Lionel said, we're on the victory side. That what the enemy has to come against us will not affect, will not prevail. God is in control. God is in control. He's passionate about his church. He's passionate about what this church has to offer and what this church will bring to the community. And I'm going to speak to this church and declare over this church that this church is going to grow on from where it was before, even in the best days. I mean, I remember coming to church and if you weren't here by 10:30, you didn't get a seat. You were standing at the back. I'm praying that that's going to happen again. I'm speaking that over you now. That's going to happen again. And it's not going to be years. It's going to be within months that people are going to start coming back to this place. People are going to start coming back to Wellspring. God said that he will make a road in the wilderness. Even in the wilderness, God will make a way for you. Wellspring, God is saying to you, church, stay close to him. Let him guide you, even in the wilderness. Even at the moment where you don't have a pastor, where there's no real vision, where you could seem that we don't know what's going on. Can I speak into the house and say, you are no longer in the wilderness and God has made a road for you. God has made a road for you. I remember that night on that Monday when I was driving home from Dorchester Hospital and Reuben went the other way and was going towards Portsmouth. And I was driving the car with tears running down my face. Probably wasn't the safest thing to do, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning, so there weren't other many cars on the road. And I felt that I was in the wilderness. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the outcome would be. And I said to God, God, he's in your hands. I give him to you. And then I started singing the Matt Redman song, Blessed Be Your Name, Lord. And when it says in the line, Lord, you give and you take away. And when I sang that, I said, God, if you've given him to me, Lord, don't take him away. But if, Lord, it's your will, then it's in your hands. And that was the hardest prayer I've ever prayed. And God said to me in that moment, in a still, small voice, he's in my hands. I'm in control. And I knew at that moment, even in my darkest time, that my God would make a way. I preached a few weeks ago in my church about us continually coming as a church and drinking daily from what God has to offer. And I used a physical illustration of a sponge. I got one of Reuben's little baby sponges. We had a couple that were given to us. It wasn't one that we used regularly. And I put it in the airing cupboard. And it dried out really, really dry. And it was really hard. And the idea of a sponge, and a sponge is to absorb water and then to disperse it out when you need to use it. And I use the illustration that if you're a sponge and you're dry, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not being what you're called to be. You're not doing your job. You're not doing your purpose. And when you come and you have to soak in the water, you have to be submerged. You have to be in that place of saturation for a length of time until you start to becoming soft again, till you start to becoming in that place where God can use you, till you can become in that place where you're no longer just this hard piece of foam, but you're actually a sponge, and then you can disperse water. And that's the idea that God wants us to do. He wants to fill us up so much that when we go out, we rub off on other people. The goodness that God's given us, the freedom of the Spirit in us, he wants us, when we rub shoulders with someone else, that we splash a bit of that onto them. Not that we're hard and that we're just that hard bit of foam. But no, God wants us to splash a bit of his love onto them and a bit of his Spirit onto them. And that actually, when we come to church, we're being filled daily we're coming to church and we're spending that time with him, we're being filled daily, and then we're going out and passing that on to someone else. That's what church is about. Jesus said that in that scripture that I read, he says, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself. We are his chosen people now. That scripture is for us. We are adopted into his family, his kingdom and his protection. This scripture says that we are his people. God is our God. And it's not taken away from the Jewish people, because God has got a promise for them. But we're adopted into his family through Jesus. Our inheritance is through him now. Everything that he has promised is now ours. That's amazing, church. Everything that he has promised is now ours. Because we are his chosen people now, because of Jesus. He is worthy to be praised, it says. You are his chosen people. It says that we shall declare his praise. He is worthy to be praised. We've already said it today. We've already sang it today, because of what he did on the cross. Because he died upon the cross for each and every one of us. He died to set us free. He died that we could become children of God. He knew what our eternity would be without him. That's why he left the splendor of heaven and he came down and he died upon a cross for you and me. He did it not out of necessity, not out of God told him to. He did it out of his own will. He gave up the splendor of heaven for us. As we sang earlier on, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what he heard. The angels and the elders praising him that through all eternity. And he gave it up for you and me. That we could come into relationship with him. That we, his created people, could praise him, could sing praises unto him. I really feel that God is doing and is about to do something amazing in this place. And you know when you feel the Spirit brooding, when you can sense something's going to happen? And we sang earlier on, didn't we? Lord, we want to see your glory here. I really believe God wants to show his glory in this place. I really believe that God is about to do something that is going to shake this community, shake this church, but yet bring something of his kingdom here. And that's what it's about. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we want God's kingdom to be here. We don't want what's on earth to be around us. We want what's the kingdom of heaven down on earth, don't we? We want to see people healed. We want to see miracles. We want to see signs and wonders. We want to see his glory. But it's not about us, it's all about him. So we put Jesus first. We put him at the head of everything. And in his glory comes. Because it's not about what we do in his name. It's about what he does in us. Then what we do in his name. He wants us to be right first. And he wants us then to go out and share what he's done in us. That's about his glory. So as I close, I want us to pray. And I want us to just to respond. I don't know if we've got another song that maybe we could sing, just as we praise. Yeah. And as we respond to God, and I pray, if you want some ministry, I'm happy to pray. Or if you want just God to just come and touch us, then we just come and stand. And God's here. God's in the place. And maybe we can pray and ask God that we can see maybe some of that glory today. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Lord, in every circumstance and in every situation, Lord, you are in control. And Lord, what the enemy meant for harm, Lord, you will turn around for your good. And so Lord, I pray. And Lord, I speak, Lord, into this house, Lord. Father, we declare, Lord, Lord, that you are God. Lord, you are head of this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the people that make up this church. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would encounter with them now. Lord, that you would meet them, Lord. And Father, Lord, your word says that you will meet our needs and not our wants. And Lord, that you will give us the desires of our hearts. Lord, for people that want to be closer to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will come closer to them. Lord, that people, Lord, that need a touch from you. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that they would experience a touch from you. Holy Spirit, come and move afresh in this place. Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, come and move amongst us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.